Thursday, Blaine and Mickey Lucas. Hey, can you hit the breaking news sounder? We got breaking news here.
You
got that handy. Yeah, let's hit it.
Breaking sports news on 104.5 The Zone.
All right. Blaine Bishop has been saying that the kicking situation is a problem, and guess what?
Oh.
Now everybody today is saying it's a problem because those Rascals went 60% in practice today. That's part one. Two is Blaine's got on like a necklace and a collared shirt today. Like he's been doing something important. I'm wearing my Thursday t-shirt today.
Oh man.
So we got break.
Well, thanks for noticing and not noticing all those other days I wore a college shirt. But, reason why I was so nervous about kicking, I understand how valuable they are. And I'm sure they do too, but I also don't know anything about freaking kicking. I don't know anything about kicking. So it just like, I just think, you know, you leave those dudes over there and you do your thing. I think they should have a kicking coach. I would have a kicking coach. I'm a head coach. I got a kicking coach, and you just make sure those rascals make every kick. We all know that will happen. But, hey, man, I want a specialist as a kicking coach, not only mentally, but also physically, and make adjustments and all of those things. As you know, talk about the wind blowing. Those guys actually are like golfers with their leg is the – is the dang on freaking, you know, club. So, I wasn't a great golfer, and I heckin' sure wasn't nowhere near could kick. I don't even know if I could kick it through the field goal from 20 yards with nobody rushing and just somebody holding it and kick it. I don't even know if I could make that. So that's the fear of it all. And then
I don't know if the current guys could do that, though.
But, and then the third layer is, man, they could look great in practice, but until we see them kicking in a game in a critical moment, will we actually know they can do the job? And when there's no pressure, and I know there's pressure with people rushing, but I'm talking about with the game on the line. Some guys relish that moment. They love it. The Jordan Biles, girl did really well when she subs for, Simone, Giles. I mean, and she relished it. You could tell there was no pressure in her. She felt like, oh, this is my opportunity. Yeah, and so some guys can handle that. So it's the pressure cooker of all pressure cookers. So all you kids that's growing up that wanted to be a kicker, go be the punter. Talk to Brett Kern. Be the punter, man. The punters, I'm not going to say that's easier, but as far as the opportunity to mess up is solely only thing you could do is shank it. And then guess what you say? Well, that was a bad snap. I had to jump over here and get it. It messed up my rhythm. And my kicking. If nothing else happens, you say, I just had one bad one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you move on. You know, it costs you a little bit of field position, but again, you can make it up. You know, somebody can get a pick, cause fumble. You know, you never know what would happen. That kicking, it wins and lose games. Trust, I was around some great kickers. Ooh, man, I was thankful for them.
If it's a billion-dollar league, why couldn't every team have a guy like James Wilhoit, the great Tennessee kicker who now coaches a bunch of kickers?
Yeah, a specialist,
why would you not just say, hey, man, here's $100K, and you can still do all your camps and everything, but when we practice, you got to be here. Like practice game day. Yeah. You can still do your camps when we're not, but here's a retainer fee.
Excellent idea. At college, too, especially these big Power Five programs.
Well, how could they not do that?
Yeah, I got to have me a kicking specialist. Not the special teams coach, kicking specialist. You only talk to the kickers.
Yep.
That's it. And you give me a gauge on who should be doing what, and that's it. That's all I want to know. You can go get you some McDonald's during practice if you want to. But when we kicking, I need you here and when they practicing. So, yeah, I did that. That kicking is a whole – the mental part is just, oh, my gosh. Oh, man. No way. I can get beat for a touchdown and be like, oh, I dare you throw it up again. You miss a game-winning field goal, they be like, hey, man, you're up there eating dinner with your family thinking about, man, I don't know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
If I get beat for a touchdown, I'm not wondering if I'm going to have a job tomorrow, you know, if I'm a vested player. I'm just going to be like, I got to get it next time when I do wrong, blah, blah, blah. Nope, not kicking. Well, you lost the biggest game. And then if they look back over the season, if we would have made that one kick, we would have been in the playoffs. Oh, you know, we would have been a higher seed. You know, we would have home field advantage. Those are all critical. That kicking, man, it just makes me nervous.
think about this, and you brought it up yesterday, the stretch where Greg Joseph was the kicker in 2019. They didn't kick a field goal for however many games. Now, think about that. Your game plan has to be altered so much. Like, we're not going to kick a field goal. We're just not going to do it. So you're just going to go for it every time. We'll punt from our own 39 or whatever we got to do. Think about that, being an offensive coordinator.
Then the coach, Vrabel, started making one of the decisions he shouldn't have made. And I'm sure he'll never admit that, but everybody was watching. If he believed in his kicker, he would have kicked the field goal. I forgot what game it was. It was a home game, though. And it might have been a 51-yard or a 40-something, but he had missed one the time before. And you go, I think he missed two. So you're like, we're not going back to the well. Guess what? If I'm the coach, this is why I can't talk to kickers. Hey, it's either you or me. So you get your butt out there and kick it again. Then be like, well, we lost because of the kicking game. They won't be saying as a head coach, we lost because I made a bad decision, went forward on fourth down when you should have kicked field goal. No. Nope. Mm-mm. Not that. Well, we got to get that kicker up out of here.
So Mike Vrabel said after practice today, they made 60%. So here's the thing.
That's good, but that's not good for a kicker.
No, that's good for you and me with nobody around kicking from, you know, the goal line.
I did great.
They made 60%. So this is year three of this that we're starting. Because in 2019, I went back and looked. They only attempted 18 field goals. So one a game, basically. Mm-hmm. They made eight. They made 44.4%. They had three guys who attempted field goals. They had Greg Joseph, who was number four, who never kicked a field goal. They had Ryan Santoso, who was number five, who never did anything but kick off.
Yeah.
And couldn't even kick it in the end zone sometimes. He looked like he was wearing pajamas. He was a huge guy who was kicking. It never made sense. He was really, really big guy. So then last year, they made 71.4. That was 31st in the league. And here we are again. And remember, I brought this up yesterday on the show, and I said, we got to talk about this, because here we are again. They completely remodeled the defense like your aunt and uncle did, who retired and remodeled their whole house. And then on offense, you have Julio Jones, you have Derrick Henry, you have A.J. Brown, you have Ryan Tannehill, you have the starting offensive line, that you got all that, and then the kicker's out there kicking 60%.
It is worth saying three of five. They were 3 of 5, so it was two misses. It wasn't like 6 of 10 or whatever, 20% of 20.
No, they each missed two.
They each missed.
Oh, they were each 3 of 5.
Yeah,
they each is 3 of 5. But I'm glad you brought all that up. That timeline of all the things that they have on offense and what they did to the defense. That's why it makes me nervous, and this is an egregious move by them. To believe in some young kickers, and they could have a lot of promise, and they could do great. But if you are a Super Bowl contending team, you must have your kicking game solved as far as the kicker. I'm sorry, you got the Kern, and don't make Kern kick off, because you can mess up his whole leg swing and everything.
No way.
So, no, don't do that. But get the field goal kicking. Man, they must be really high on one of these guys.
You can just stop right there.
When I say really high, that means somebody over there is giving them a whole bunch of CBD oil. I'll be like, my life is not going to depend on it. I would do Gronkowski the whole time again. Sorry. Hey, he was inconsistent. Well, he got consistent there at the end. I'm going that route. And I don't even want him to wait till the season. I want him in there now working out. Yep. And, hey, man, we may keep you. We may let you go. I don't know. See how these guys kicking. But also, he can also give them some leadership, and some guidance. Super Bowl contending team, and you got rookie kickers. I mean, young kickers. Let's just say that. They haven't kicked in the NFL game. But we can call them rookies. I'm still calling them rookie because until you kick in a game, you doesn't matter.
You're a rookie. Yeah. A game.
Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah, Mickey Mouse. So teach your little one to be the punter.
He is fascinated. He is fascinated with punting everything. He walks around the house punting everything.
I wish I could punt, man. I couldn't even kick my leg up past my chin.
I couldn't do that now for all the money in the world. I couldn't kick my leg up over my waist, I don't think, right now without hurting something or needing a heating pad.
I pull a hamstring and my glute would not be firing.
I did the Tighten Up podcast with our buddy Austin Huff and Jack Gentry.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
And this situation came up, and here's what I said. And Austin Huff actually called Buck Show and said, this is what Mickey Ryan said on the podcast. Maybe they're just trying to live through week one somehow, and then they sign a veteran and his salary's not guaranteed. I think I maybe said that on the show.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. It is, so, but I still wouldn't be rolling the dice. That's how important. I don't care.
I wouldn't either.
Hey, man. Because I think they believe that one of these guys can actually get the job done. They believe in them that much. To me, that's what it tells me, leaving up, you know, all the way up to the regular season. And if it doesn't work, guess what? They got something in their back pocket. Yeah. That makes sense. But I wouldn't be doing it. That, you know, that's why I'm not an athletic director or head coach, because I would probably make some boneheaded decisions like that. And I'd be like, go get the best kicker that's out there in free agency, signed to the league minimum, and bring him in here to compete with these youngsters.
And give him every incentive that you can give him. If we win this many games, if we win the Super Bowl, if you make this percentage of your kicks, if you make all your extra points, we'll load you down with incentives. Just kick your way to another couple million dollars if you want to.
Yeah, well, I'll see those rookie kickers next year after we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Gee. Look at what the Bucks did. They'd had kicking issues. They go get a healthy Ryan Succop. What does that rascal do? Oh. Takes him all the way to the Super Bowl. Ryan Succop.
Yeah, he said his quad was firing.
Well, it started firing. Fired all the way to the damn Super Bowl. Man. Got him a huge ring. He posted it on Instagram. Looked good.
Got him a huge contract, too. He got a 3-year deal.
Sure did.
Little sucker.
All you had to do was wait for him to get well, and everything would be fine. Just wait for Ryan.
It's about immediate. I need you now. You ready to go? Yeah, I think I can kick, but I don't know. My quad is still kind of weak. Nope, get out there. We only got 6 weeks. It's a 6 week. We got bigger yells, but come on. Boom. Nope, it don't work well. Oop, dang. Uh-oh. Panic. Go sign three kickers.
I need to see how many kickers. Well, that was five in 2019. And then Gostkowski and Sloman, the legend. That's seven kickers in 2 years. That's seven in 2 years. Not to mention McCann, who was on the practice squad last year, eight, and now Hallbill, nine. That's nine kickers since 2019. Nine kickers.
Oh, man. We got to stop talking about this because I'm getting heart palpitations right now. This is locker room coach. I think I probably have a freaking heart attack on the sideline. I'm seriously, man. I could not. I'd be like, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. I hope he makes it. That's why I would leave it up to the kicking specialist.
Hey, man, call James Wilhoit. This is not that hard. What do you want? Come down here and coach the kickers. Just coach the kickers. We'll handle everything else. What's it going to cost you?
Man, I'd be on the phone with a whole bunch of kicking specialists. All these kicking academies all over the place. Hey, man, it'd be well worth it. So
for no more than what you would spend, the return would be exponential. Just like this show every day. You only got to spend 2 hours with us, and the return is exponential. And on the other side of this, your exponential return will continue with our buddy Jordan DeJohnny, who covers the NFL for CBS. There's so many – oh, my gosh, there's so many sports stories going on in the NFL, and he covers all of them. We'll talk about it all next on Blaine and Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Man, Lucas, you can't play this. Expect me to just to talk. I want to listen to it, man. Tom Petty just killing it. Lucas always doing great with the bump music, bumping into our man Jordan DeJohnny, who joins us now from CBS Sports. Jordan, if only there were NFL topics to talk about. What a boring time, right, to be covering the NFL.
Yeah, I was curious why you guys wanted me to come on the show. There's nothing going on in the NFL right now. So I thought we were discussing our favorite foods, favorite colors. I'm not sure why I'm here.
Well, a lot of Green Bay Packers' favorite color is green, or maybe that gold color of their helmet. But just what an unbelievable spectacle that this is unfolding in Green Bay right now with Aaron Rodgers, who just stood up there yesterday and said everything he's ever wanted to say right there in front of the team logo. That was amazing to watch.
It was amazing, and you said it. It was a spectacle. I mean, I was shocked by the brutal honesty in the press conference. I was fully expecting Aaron Rodgers to step up to the podium and say, drama. There was drama going on. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm here to play football. No, but, I mean, it's interesting because I remember going on the show with you guys, and I told you that I was pretty convinced that Aaron Rodgers would be returning to the Packers, because when we boiled this saga down to its finest point, it was kind of, does Aaron Rodgers want to continue to play football or not? Because the Packers were not going to trade him. He could retire, but he still has that fire within him, as he said yesterday. He still wants to go chase a Super Bowl, chase another MVP, find success on the field with his teammates, so he returned. Now, the whole saga, it was not more about asking for a change of scenery to me. It was almost strong-arming the organization into finally listening to him, right? He kept saying he doesn't want to be a quote-unquote lame duck quarterback. He's not a young buck anymore, but he's still elite. He means business, and the insight he can offer is different compared to those in the front office who aren't as good as tossing the pigskin around the field as he is. So he wants more say in free agency and the whole recruiting that goes on in the NFL. He wants a ton of insight, or he wants to be able to explain his side when it comes to retaining players, which he spoke at length about yesterday. So that's what it really came down to. He wants more say in the organization. He wants them to kind of shape up, and now he's back under center for the Green Bay Packers.
It's sort of like the draft day movie where he at the end is yelling, you know, and give me David expletive, expletive Putney. Like by the end of the day, Randall Tex Cobb was on an airplane back to Green Bay. Today they signed the Undertaker, Dennis Kelly, to get some help on the offensive line. Like, this is paying immediate dividends for him. If I was him at this point, I would ask for a snow cone machine and, you know, all sorts of a dirt bike. Why not just ask for everything now?
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I even tweeted yesterday when the news came out about Dennis Kelly. I said Aaron Rodgers' first edition as the new GM is a very big one. And the whole thing behind this that I want to get to as well is that, you know, everyone seems to assume that Aaron Rodgers is probably on his way out next year, right? The contract negotiations and the concessions that they put in place have it look that way, that he's going to finish up this year or be the last dance, and then he can have some major say into getting traded to a new spot. I'm not sold there yet. I think if that the Packers really come together and they start using Aaron Rodgers the way he wants to be used, he could be under center for the Packers in 2022.
There you go. Jordan Dajani just bringing the knowledge and the heat on Blaine and Mickey right here on a Thursday.
Yeah, that Jordan, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the one thing I wanted to know is, do we know the details of what he actually got changed in his contract? Does he have control besides, you says he can, you know, I guess, decide where he wants to go, maybe? I don't know. What's the details?
Yeah, that's a great question, and not everything has necessarily come out yet. We know for sure, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, that the 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, which was the last one in his current deal, would be voided, and that he cannot be tagged in the future. Additionally, I don't know if they put this into paper or what, but the Packers have agreed to review Aaron Rodgers' situation at the end of the 2021 season. Now, what that means, let me translate, is that Rodgers, if he wants to be traded, he is going to be traded. That's how I view that statement. They also opened up some cap room with the renegotiated contract. I assume that would probably go towards a Davante Adams extension. And then the other thing was that mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. I think that's kind of a branch or of just a, you know, a normal statement or a coded statement saying that Rodgers is going to have more say in the franchise, which, again, is what I think he wanted all along.
Wow, great for him. Well, let's talk about another quarterback that's probably not so great at this time, and that's Deshaun Watson with this, I guess, scout team running part of practice and everything else. Maybe has to show that he's healthy if there is a trade value market. What is his actual trade value at this point in time, not knowing all the facts and where the court system is going to go here?
The only one that can answer that question are interested teams, because let's say, for example, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Denver Broncos are two teams interested in Deshaun Watson. Well, if they're kind of competing for his services, obviously with the standing legal issues, we don't know what's going to come to fruition with that. One could be tempted to make a trade soon. And, you know, they've been waiting all offseason for the Texans to be open to those contract or those trade talks. And now it's reportedly they're open to those talks. So could a team make a move immediately? Maybe. I think it's going to happen later rather than sooner. I think that they're going to wait for the NFL to hand down a punishment with this. There are, you know, there's a possibility that he could go to court and that could be drawn out even further. I don't think everyone can expect at this point that everything's going to be settled and we're going to be okay. I mean, these are some serious legal issues that he's facing. So yeah, it's definitely a big development that he reported to Texans training camp. The biggest part why he did so was that he wouldn't be fined. I think I read something in the NFLPA, the CBA, has a thing where he has to report regardless of what's going on off-field issues, or he could be subject to fines. So he reported. I was shocked that he even took part in some individual drills. That was kind of surprising to me. But yeah, we still have a ways to go when it comes to this Deshaun Watson drama and where he will end up playing football in 2021.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm going to make you the sheriff, and that is the commissioner of the National Football League, and kind of give me your viewpoint of what you think he's thinking and Roger Goodell, of why no suspension or exempt list or anything of that nature. I know it's in the civil court, but, 22, 23 people, eventually it may get to the criminal court. I think, 10 people filed a criminal complaint.
That is a very tough question. And my guesswork would be that it would look bad if he handed down a punishment similar to what we saw with Ben Roethlisberger several years ago, one, because Deshaun Watson's allegations are more serious. But the other part of it is that you don't want to jump the gun in terms of handing a punishment down when it comes to this serious of a situation, because you could end up looking very, very bad if things don't go Deshaun Watson's way when it comes to civil or even criminal trial, if it gets to that. So there are a lot of people bashing the NFL saying, why in the world did we not have a punishment? Why do we not have an update on Deshaun Watson? This is absolutely ridiculous. Well, at the same time, I think that they say that they're still, completing their investigation. And I believe that. I think that there's a lot of stuff to go over, and it's kind of hard to complete your investigation when the criminal and civil and the investigations that the lawyers are completing themselves has not completed yet as well. So it's a tricky situation, not only for Deshaun Watson and obviously those who are affected by his alleged misdeeds off the field, but also for the NFL and, those who employ Deshaun Watson to try to hand down a ruling at this point in time. So it's a lot of wait and see at this point. I'm certainly glad I'm not in the commissioner's chair.
Yeah, no doubt about it, except for those, $40 million in a banking account.
Yeah, there's that.
We're with Jordan DeGianni, an NFL writer for CBS Sports. And one more question for me, and this is more about cornerback Xavier Howard, who I really think is really good. What's the trade market looking like for him? And would the Titans be a team that would be interested with their rookie first rounder not actually, practicing yet?
Yeah, so according to reports, I mean, this trade market has really shaped up over the past few days. I think it was a few nights ago when Xavier Howard made his trade request public via Instagram. The market has really shaped up for him. So the Dolphins, it looks more and more likely to me that the Dolphins will probably be trading him away. Obviously, that's subject to change. But, then it comes down to the asking price. Like you said, Xavier Howard is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, no doubt about it. I even think he's still a little underrated just with what he's able to do in terms of creating turnovers. So, I saw our CBS NFL insider Jonathan Jones yesterday tweeted out that if the Dolphins are serious about trading Xavier Howard and they're not overly stubborn, a first-round pick plus a high pick, he says no lower than a third or a good young player in return other than that high pick could do it. That sounds like a lot to me, but again, Xavier Howard is, especially considering you're going to have to pay him another contract that is going to make him what probably will be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. That's a lot to give up, obviously, but knowing how talented he is, I mean, there's going to be teams that are interested. Now, when it comes to the Tennessee Titans, I would love a move like that. If Xavier Howard found his way to Nashville, I would be pretty much all in on the Tennessee Titans, but I don't think I've heard anything. I don't think that anything's been reported when it comes to gauging the Titans' level of interest in them. I mean, they have – we've talked about it on your show. I mean, the Titans' secondary is definitely probably the weak point of this defense, if not this team. So adding Xavier Howard would be an incredible idea, but I don't know if the Titans necessarily want to give up a lot to acquire his services.
No doubt. We're with NFL writer for CBS Sports, Jordan DeJohnny.
Jordan, let's stay with the Titans for a minute here. It was interesting yesterday to hear Ryan Tannehill kind of go through his interview and go through his entire process on his vaccination or not vaccination experience. He was really brutally honest at times even.
Yeah, so I actually listened to that press conference when it was happening, and he said something in the beginning that was like, you know, the NFL is being very strict. It's clear what they want to be done when it comes to these vaccination protocols. And then, of course, as we saw towards the end of the press conference, he said that he wouldn't have gotten the vaccination if it wasn't for these strict NFL protocols. Now, there's going to be a lot of people out there that want to bash him for that decision, and people want him to be on one side of the fence saying that he didn't have to wait for the NFL protocols to go get vaccinated and, you know, all the things that go along with that. At the same time, I think that you can look at this as a beneficial sign for the NFL. The protocols are working. Ryan Tannehill just explained to the local media that the protocols are working, that he went and got the vaccination because his employer wanted him to, and that he'd be subject to extra tests and different kind of tough protocols that he would have to undertake to complete a safe 2021 season. That's a good thing. And, you know, just to branch out even more, the vaccination percentages or rates are going up in the NFL all across the league. So, you know, if you're the NFL and you want everybody in a perfect world to be vaccinated, we're certainly getting there. It will never be like that, obviously. But again, I think that you can take Ryan Tannehill's comments as a good thing, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if Titans fans want to see games get played and not forfeits and that type of thing, then obviously them leaning towards what they say 90% right now vaccination rate or working on that number, maybe it will keep that from happening. And then on the flip side, you have Cole Beasley of the Bills, and he was brutally honest, too, about his stance on why he hasn't been vaccinated.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, he's obviously made him kind of the poster boy for those who are – I don't know what term I want to use, but I guess against the vaccination. He made a statement yesterday. And, you know, if I was him, I would probably just want to stand down, unless this is obviously something he truly believes in. But the other part about this is that he says he's speaking for players who behind closed doors have supported him, and they have, you know, brought up questions they have about the vaccines themselves. And I know that the NFL and all 32 clubs have tried to bring in, you know, people to educate their players on the vaccine and what exactly it does and what exactly it is. So it's a really tough spot to be in for Cole Beasley.
Jordan DeJohnny, our guest at Jordan DeJohnny on Twitter. Why are the Jags having this whole charade where, you know, Gardner Minshew, by the way, his whole charade about he hasn't pooped in months because he doesn't believe in number two. And then yesterday they got him taking the first team reps. And I saw Mark Long, the AP writer in Jacksonville, tweeted today that it was Trevor Lawrence. What are we doing? Everybody knows what's going on. Why not get Trevor Lawrence every snap that you can?
Man, I wish I had that number two line in my back pocket when I was like negotiating to sign on with CBS. That would have been absolutely perfect. But I mean, I think the biggest thing behind it is that the Jaguars don't want to apply the amount of pressure to Trevor Lawrence this early on that comes with being the number one overall pick. And I think that you can even point to some moves that were made this offseason that kind of took pressure away from Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we always talk about competition, right? And you're going to have competition at every position, even if you have a presumed starter. So the Jaguars are going that route. But, I mean, I remember when they signed Tim Tebow, I was talking to a buddy of mine, Ken Carman, at CBS Sports, and or CBS Sports Radio, and he said that he thinks they brought in Tim Tebow to take some attention away from Trevor Lawrence as he continues to get acclimated to professional life and you know, obviously taking over as a quarterback of a franchise that has not been very good at football for the past few years, right? Instead of Trevor Lawrence in the locker room being asked about, you know, what's it like moving to Jacksonville? What are you reading in the offense? You might have reporters asking, what kind of shampoo does Tim Tebow use in the shower? So I think a lot has gone with it in terms of taking a little bit of pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. And, I mean, they're going to make him earn this spot. Is he going to earn the number one quarterback spot? Obviously, everyone knows that. People who don't follow the NFL know that. But, you know, I don't have a huge problem with what they're doing. You already described it. It is a charade. That's a fair way to put it. But yeah, it's all about just trying to establish chemistry with your offense, with your team, and Trevor Lawrence is going to have to, in ways, earn that.
Hey, on the way out, it looks like a good – I saw you tweeted about this, among others. Looks like a real nice start for Trey Smith in Kansas City.
Yes, yes. I'm excited about this kid. I mean, so I graduated from the University of Tennessee, so obviously I have some familiarity with who he is as a prospect. I remember I wrote an article for CBS on the last day of the draft, the biggest day three surprises in the draft. And one of mine was the fall of Trey Smith. I mean, this is a player who's an all SEC kind of player. He dealt with those medicals, those blood clots in the lungs, but they were able to find a treatment for it. He was able to rebound for it. And when he returned to the field, he was an absolute monster. And from whatever we've heard, he's been fine from it. It seems like he's moved on from those issues. So there was no reason for him to fall all the way to the sixth round. And when you see the Kansas City Chiefs, the best team in the AFC, pick him, you know, you just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, dang it. Because they picked up a steal in the draft there. Pretty incredible and pretty noticeable that he started training camp with the ones. He's going to have to earn that spot, no doubt about it. But I brought up CBS NFL insider Jonathan Jones earlier in this interview. He tweeted that he's been hearing that Trey Smith from the Chiefs guys, he seems like he's the real deal. So we all knew this was going to be a big steal in the 2021 NFL draft. And sure enough, he's starting off with the ones in training camp.
No doubt. Well, you're always starting off with our ones. No number twos around here.
Yeah.
At Jordan Dejani on Twitter, CBS Sports. Thank you, man. We'll catch up again soon for sure now that we got NFL footballs being kicked and thrown around practice fields again.
Absolutely. You guys are the best, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jordan. You are the best too, buddy. Speaking of kicking, so we're going to try to solve this Titans kicking issue. You can tweet us at Blaine and Mickey. We're getting suggestions from people already. People already tagging James Wilhoit, telling him they need him to come and coach these kickers. JP has got a little competition idea that he tweeted us. Or you got thoughts on this or anything else, join us on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, 615-737-1045. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. If he doesn't play football, you know, my thing was, okay, well, then he can just go be president of the United States or whatever he wants to do. But the guy's a heck of a football player, so it's fun to see him get his chance in Kansas City. And he's got to be pinching himself, like, wait a second. Okay, I'm on the best team in the AFC. Okay, this worked out fine. Good deal. Andy Reid is my head coach. I got Mahomes, who's a once-in-a-generation quarterback that I'm blocking for. Yeah, this is okay. This will work out just fine. Things have a way of working out for people like him. So we talked a lot about the kicking situation lately. We started the show today talking about the kicking situation. JP tweeted us this on at Blaine and Mickey. And again, you can join the discussion. Mark Spain, Real Estate Hotline, 615-737-1045. He said, Blaine and Mickey, they should have the kickers kick at the beginning of practice with the entire team watching. And at the end of the day, where practice doesn't end until they make five in a row for the pressure.
Hey, I concur. I completely agree with somebody yelling in his ear, harassing him, which will never happen in a real game. But there, you know, the crowd will be screaming. But I'm talking about a player literally standing right next to him, or a coach, and getting in his ear, really trying to distract him and make sure his concentration is on point. Yeah, I'm all in with that. Yeah, Fishbone used to do some things like that. I always thought it was cool.
Here's the thing about that, too. You could even do it like this. Y'all got to make five kicks in a row, but it's you and then him and then you and then him and then you. We're going to rotate it daily. So each of you has to hit a kick. Then the next guy has to hit one. Then the next guy, you got to work together. You got to hit five in a row together before we're done with practice.
Oh, snap.
Not just one of you. You got to kick one, then you, then you, then you. We're going to rotate daily. So one day you kick three, the next day the other guy kicks two, and vice versa. We're going to flip it every day. Can't leave until some of you boys make five straight field goals.
And, you know, to their credit, though, it was, you know, only the second practice. But, at least you got a barometer. You can't go below that. Now let's, you know, get four for five, then eventually five for five. I'm sure Lucas would be all in. Lucas is, you know, he's all comfortable with these young kickers. He's like, we'll go on that Super Bowl run with some young kickers. They'll do fine.
I don't know about that. But if you want to do that exercise, I feel like you should save it for the end of training camp just to not just obliterate their confidence a week into practice.
Oh, well, how about this? Now that you've said that, Lucas, I do want to obliterate their confidence.
Oh, here we go.
Reason AD why Blaine, you do Coach it. Blaine. And I get your analogy because that makes a lot more sense to do it at the end of training camp, which it does. But I want to see what I got now. And then let's see if you can build on that to the end. Because obviously I'm going to keep you in camp, even if you get obliterated. But I'm going to want to see if this is the most pressure I can put on you. So now I want to see where are you now. Because I'm all big on, it's not about what happened. How do you respond to what happened? Mm-hmm. How do you respond as a pro athlete if something goes wrong and it doesn't work? If you had a bad day, I want to see if you can recover the next day. I want you to throw it out your brain and keep it moving. Come here the next day, just like it was the day before, and confidence in everything that you do. So, yeah, I mean, you know, sooner than later, you don't have to be this week. But, yeah, I want to see it early in camp, but then I'm gonna come back to it at the end to Lucas's point and see where they're at. Yeah,
you know. Here's the flip side of that too, Blaine. If one of these guys is the kicker in game one against the Cardinals, dudes goes out, misses a 32-yard field goal. Well, he's going to have to kick another one before the game's over with it. Maybe another one. I want to see how he bounced. Like you were saying, the next day, I need to see how the guy makes the next kick.
Yeah, right.
So when I'm talking
and
about
that, would show what you're doing that drill to me. That give you a little insight. Yeah, I like it. Thanks, Lucas, for helping me think of that. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's good. No doubt. Because you can't simulate a game, but you can simulate pressure to a certain extent. And then you get to see how a guy is. If he's down and out, or is he like, dang it? Well, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow. I'm going to hammer every last one of them through. That's why I couldn't kick, because then I get too emotional. That thing go all over the place. That ball.
you know how to have some pressure. Have like old Vrabes back there in the backfield standing close by. Maybe John Robinson standing across the line of scrimmage, you know, where the official would be. Just kind of standing there staring at him. Hey, man, we're going to be right out here with you while you try to kick these five field goals in a row, fellas. We're going to do this every day. So if you miss one, then we start all over again. You miss the next one, we're just going to keep going. Five in a row until we can get out of this heat.
I don't know if they got enough time, man. But, you know, a lot of players would be all in on that, so they could just stand there. But they'd be at the beach getting a tan, though.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be hot out there. Oh, my gosh. JP again on Twitter tweeting us down. Anytime you got something like that, hit us. Because we love to read the best tweets, interact with you guys there anytime. But, yeah, JP Simpson on Twitter. Have the kickers kick at the beginning of practice with the entire team watching. And then at the end of the day, where practice doesn't end until they make five in a row for the pressure.
Right. Love right. It. I'm going to pull a high school trick. And then if you don't make them and we tired of watching y'all.
Oh, no.
Everybody runs except y'all. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Woo. That's old school.
Old school right there. Everybody runs but you guys. And you guys just watch them and cheerlead. Ooh, I'd be hot as fish grease, boy. I'd be hot, man. Like, oh, crap. Run around all three fields. Everybody but the kicker.
Oh, even the mythical field three. Blaine's going in deep on this.
You feel so bad. You feel about as small as an ant. I mean, a baby ant, too.
Well, the kicker is – we'll just refer to them as blocker. That was my name for them. It's a combination of Blake and of Tucker. That's their first names. They'll be Blucker until they aren't. So we're going to have to work Blucker through this preseason.
Nice.
Mike Vrabel even talked about Blucker today and how Blucker did the Titans kicking situation. We will hear from the head coach next. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.